The LLC, on the other hand, our statute says the liability is whatever the partner or whatever the members decide. So it's really a blank slate. And so there's, but you are seeing some fiduciary phraseology being thrown in to the member liability, but I still think you're in a better position fundamentally from a liability standpoint in an LLC where you start with that blank slate as opposed to duty of care, duty of loyalty standard that exists under the partnership statute. Now, some of you may disagree. Beth, you may be one, but I'll defer to you on that. But that's my take of it. Simplicity. LLCs prevail hands down. I've got one entity with an LLC. I can have voting, non-voting interests. I don't have to worry about a thinly capitalized general partner. I don't have to worry about two different entities. So I think an LLC wins there. As Andy talked about yesterday, you have the ability to do a series entity in an LLC. You don't under our Texas statute for an LLP. So, you know, I think it's really just sitting down and going through this and deciding which is best for a particular situation. Okay, moving on. Let's frame the issue. And this is where it might get a little simple for some of you, but I want to make sure that we're all kind of level set as to where we're going. Let's talk about our transfer tax. In the U.S., we have this transfer tax system. And when assets move from one generation to the next, the IRS now wants 40% of it. So I've got $100 and I give it to my kid and the IRS takes 40%. Now there are some exceptions to it, so bear with me. The IRS takes 40% and my kid gets 60% or $60. So my kid then grows up and gives that asset or gives that $60 that he has to his child. Well, the IRS is there, and they take another bite out of that 60 cents. So they take $24, leaving my grandson or granddaughter or grandchild, though I don't have any, with $36. So we've effectively had, when we move those assets down two generations, we've had a 64% tax bite come out of those. Well, you know, prior to the 70s, people got smart with wealth and said, well, let's forget about giving assets to G2 or the kids. Let's give it right to G3 or put it into trust. And so you would do these generation skipping transfers. And the IRS would take one bite out, the 40% bite, leaving $60 there for the kids, grandkids, and beyond. Well, the IRS got smart and in the early 70s passed some GST rules and then in the 90s passed the GST regulations, which basically said, hey, if you're going to skip a generation, then not only are we going to subject it to an estate tax or gift tax, but we're also going to subject it to a generation skipping transfer tax. So we have the same overall effect. But then we've got these exemptions that apply. So flipping through quickly, here are the three transfer tax that I've already talked about. Here's a little bit more detail on them, but here is the most important thing as we continue with our discussion. Transfer taxes are driven by value, whether it's the estate tax, the gift tax, or the GST tax. And value is determined by a willing buyer, willing seller test under all three tax regimes. Today, the tax rate's 40% under all three regimes. Now, you can get lower rates when you have non-residents and stuff, but we're going to forget about them. We've already talked about the $11.4 million exemption. You have the ability to get an unlimited marital deduction on gifts to U.S. citizen spouses. You have a $15,000 annual exclusion that's adjusted for inflation. And do notice this word, chained CPI. As part of the Tax Cut and Jobs Act, they changed the way they've calculated interest. So interest is growing at a slightly slower rate than it used to historically. You also have the ability to make unlimited gifts in the form of direct payments for medical and qualified education expenses. Think about this, because this is important. And I've got an appendix to my slide deck that looks at the benefits of gifting versus getting the basis step up. When I make a gift of an asset, the donee of the asset generally takes my basis. There's this carryover basis concept or transferred basis concept to the donee. Whereas if that asset passes as a result of my death and is included in my estate, it's going to get a basis adjustment. Hopefully it's a basis step up. So we need to think about what the impact of basis is. We also have portability. Now, it's important to remember that those great benefits, the $11.4 million gift and estate tax and GST exemption, they are slated to go away December 31, 2025. So it sunsets. Now, it's also important to note that the chained CPI adjustment does not go away. It's going to stay with us. So what's the purpose of this whole transfer tax? And basically, the purpose of it, it's not a fiscal or money raiser, as we'll talk about in a second, but it's really a means of increasing the overall progressivity of our tax system. And specifically, it's designed to erode multi-generational wealth. That's the real purpose behind the estate tax. And as you'll see here, it's responsible for about 0.7% of the revenue raised by the government, or $23.9 billion annually. Here's another presentation of it. So you'll see the relative money or revenue that's raised through business income taxes, individual and estate income taxes, not estate tax. You look at the estate and gift tax, employment tax, and excise taxes.